Welcome to the Traveler's Guide to Life podcast, tips for fulfilling life now until the journey's end. Season 5, Episode 1, Holding Hands, Walking Each Other Home. We're here today with Hospice Spiritual Care Coordinator, Brother John Youngblood. Welcome, John.
Thank you.
So, John has been working with Hospice for the last 2 months, getting the lay of the land and working with our patients and their families. So, John, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're doing with the Holding Hands program at Hospice?
So the Holding Hands program at Hospice is the spiritual care approach that we're taking in dealing with our patients and their families. And while I would love to take credit for that idea, it's actually been a teamwork or process involving a team. For instance, Mary, you're the director of Family Support Services, and so that makes you my direct boss. And I spent a lot of conversations with you, not being familiar with hospice at the administration level, and really being quite unfamiliar with hospice at the very practical level. And so we spent a lot of time in your office talking, and it started making sense to me that what we were really doing with our patients, you emphasized a great deal on being present, meaningful presence, and you gave me a lot of readings regarding these particular topics. And along with doing some review of the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services and what they expected as far as a holistic approach to dealing with patients, it became clear and clear to me that what we were doing is really holding their hands in a physical sense, but also in a metaphorical sense. Our CEO, Ruth Fishbeck, has helped me to clearly understand the importance of the patient feeling loved, that they're surrounded by love. And our president of the board of directors also, Laura Cords, has been very instrumental in conducting life reviews and helping us understand life reviews. So all of these came to really fruition or culminated into this moment of, oh, that's what these patients need. That's what the families need. They need someone to understand who they are, why they are. They need to be heard. And they need to be supported. This can be a difficult journey for anyone. All of us understand that. Absolutely. And so what I wanted to do was to develop a program approach that emphasized the importance of us being there, hearing them, hearing what they needed. And then once we heard what it is that they needed, who they were about, what was significant to them, then we would have a better understanding of how to relate to them and what we could do to facilitate this sense of being loved, of being accompanied, being supported, ultimately for this journey home. In my capacity as the spiritual care coordinator, one of the aspects of what we do that I see is walking them home. This life is not all that there is. There's something else out there. Now, some of us think that something is heaven. Some of us think that something is being one with the universe. Some of us think that something is nothingness. But what is that something that is expected, and how do we cultivate them? Cultivate that? How do we support them on that journey? Ultimately, how do we hold their hands? And that's the great honor that I have in this particular position, is I am able to hold their hands. But it's not so simple as just grabbing someone's hand and saying, I have your hand, let's go. It's understanding who they are, how they've been, and what is their notion of home, and figuring out a way to support that.
Awesome. So you've been doing this actually for 3 months. The first month you did as a volunteer, and it got you, gave you an idea of what it's all about. So when you started implementing the holding hands, what did that look like? Was it comfortable? What did it teach you?
Well, I have to say that it has been comfortable. It has been natural. Mm-hmm. Our families have been just wonderful as far as receiving me, receiving us. They look to us for guidance. They look to us for support. And so I guess the difficult part for me has been in making sure that they got what they needed and understanding how to do that. But it's been a beautiful experience. Most people understand what home is to them, and most of them are very receptive to having someone support them on this journey. And so it's been quite natural, and I must admit, quite fulfilling as well.
So a lot of people look at spiritual care at the end of life as, what is your faith background? And others have that spiritual component. What have you learned about the difference, I guess, between the faith communities and the spiritual communities?
Well, I don't know that there is a difference between the faith communities and the spiritual communities. However, you're very correct. There are some people who claim a faith background and others who claim a spiritual background. They can be one and the same, or they can be separate. In this area, because I'm drawn to the North Country because of the scenery, the land, the environment, the people. It's rural. I grew up in a town of 385 people, and so I am just naturally one who's drawn to rural, small communities. And so one of the discoveries that I've made here is that most people here ultimately do claim some type of faith, and it's almost always Christian faith. Now, there have been exceptions to that, but for the most part, they claim a Christian faith. But some of them really aren't so embracing of that Christian faith or that faith. Others are very embracing of it. It just depends on the family, depends on the patient. But for a lot of people, it's all about, they will tell me, I don't feel God necessarily in the church house. I feel God in the woods when I'm in nature. Others feel a connection more to animals, and that's where they're in their comfortable place, and that's where they are naturally inclined to be. Other people enjoy music, different types of music, and that calms them. That brings them a real sense of peace. So it's all in figuring out who they are. And then there are those in faith communities who are very spiritual, and music, hymns, church songs, they enjoy experiencing that. Some enjoy scriptures, having scriptures read to them. Ultimately, what I find is that this is an area, this rural area, where you find groups of people who either embrace a particular faith denomination, or they embrace outside. Those are the main ones that I've seen.
And so what would you say, how does each group approach you in sharing that information?
Well, I think initially, quite honestly, there's a bit of a hesitation when I come in the room. I think that some people have had a very negative experience with faith communities, with churches. They have felt as if it was a judgmental place, or oftentimes I find that it's something that they did when they were children, but something that they no longer really feel connected to, they've grown apart from. And so the thought of having the spiritual care coordinator come into the room is kind of, we don't need that. Right. That's not where we are.
Right.
And so I do find that it requires me to approach it in a sense of being open to hearing for them, because a lot of people say, well, I don't have a faith, or I don't have any, I don't have a spirituality. And I accept that. I mean, that is what they declare. That's the statement they made. But I engage in active listening.
Mm-hmm.
And active listening is a form of listening that allows you to really hear, listen to the individual, see what it is they're saying, see what it is that they're not saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important. And start really just following up on their comments with more questions. And we get to a place of determining that the human spirit is in everyone, even though we don't necessarily always recognize that. Everyone shares this life experience as being part of the human spirit. And then where does that human spirit take us? Does it take us to a place of fellowship? Based on faith? Does it take us to a place of peace and harmony in the woods? Just where is that spirit of ours within us? Where is it guiding us, and what are we doing with that spirit?
Okay. And so when you've gone to people, because I know we've had conversations about this, that say that they're not, you know, they don't have a faith and, you know, they're not really spiritual, and you kind of tease that out with them and listening to them, how do they feel after you actually help them to identify they do have a spirituality?
The most common response is, oh, I never thought of it that way, or I never looked at it that way, or I actually hear quite often, thank you for that perspective. That's an approach or positionality I've never expressed or never heard before.
Mm-hmm.
So it's they're usually shocked.
Right. Because they do have it.
Because they do have
yeah.
it. I will say, to me, when you walk in the room, when I walk in the room, it's so obvious to me. I usually feel this glow about the patient and their families. They're at a very difficult point. We're talking about end of life, and it's easy enough to talk about end of life. It's another thing to actually enter into it.
Right.
And so they're in a vulnerable place. They're in a place of not knowing. And what you get from that individual, from those entities, is a sense of truth, a sense of honesty, a sense of openness, which really allows that spirit to really shine, to be honest with you, that light. To really illuminate. And so when I walk into the room, almost always their spirit is quite obvious to me. Who they are, their essence is really quite available and it's easy to connect to it.
Do you think it prompts more conversations with the family?
It does. What I notice is that family members are usually busy looking through paperwork, trying to get used to this new healthcare approach, cooking, cleaning, rearranging. This is a big change in their lives and lifestyle. And I try to target in on the patient. If there is someone who greets me first, I obviously try to read them, try to get a feel of how it's going in the room. And ultimately, they take me to the patient, who is this beautiful individual. Almost always, I don't think I've seen a case where I wouldn't identify someone as anything but beautiful. And I'm able to fellowship with them. I'm able to connect with them almost immediately. And then what happens that I notice is that family members who are usually busy doing other things or trying to achieve something else, they notice that. They sense that. And the next thing I know is they're gathered around as well. And so it really becomes a family affair, a communal conversation, which is quite beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So walk us through your typical day. You're going to go see a patient for the first time. So what does that look like?
Well, because I am a part of the hospice team, I have available to me records. And so I'll review the records, you know, how old are they? Do they have a faith, belief, or denomination? What is their condition? What is their diagnosis? I think it's very, one of the reasons that I'm very pleased with this position is that the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services sees a holistic approach as being the only way to go about providing services in hospice. And so it's been key to me that the spiritual care coordinator be considered a healthcare provider, and that means being familiar with their health conditions, mm-hmm. and their mental states and their social needs. And so I try to, whatever records are available, I look at them. And so I have somewhat of an idea of what it is I will encounter. Having said that, as you know from our conversations, almost any time I think this is what they will look like, this is what they will sound like, this is what they will proclaim, I ultimately find
they're
it
never
it's,
like that.
Yeah, it's never what I thought it would be. But I do my research, and then I go in. I'm a Southerner, and we don't just walk into your home. We understand that we're invited into this space, and I try to really take in the moment. I'm quite comfortable in almost any setting in any environment, and so I usually notice something on the wall that I'm intrigued by, or some architectural element that I'm intrigued by, or smells, you know, whatever's cooking, or sounds, if there's music. I walked in the other day and a patient was playing 70s music, and I love 70s music, so I was already in. This is just great. I could just sit here and listen to music all day. And so I take in those nonverbals, mm-hmm. that sense of where I am. And I enter in, I'm greeted, invited in, and I go, whatever conversation there is to be had with the person who's ultimately bringing me into that space, we become familiar with each other through names while I'm there. And they are really good about taking me to the patient pretty quickly, so that I can interact with their loved one, so that I can see what it is their loved one needs. And I go in and I typically ask them questions of how they're doing. I compliment their home, because I've never seen a home that I don't see a reason to compliment. Mm-hmm. I thank them for allowing me to be in that space. I inquire about their lives, their jobs, their families, communities, their involvement, their faith, if I understand them to have one and what that is. And I take it from there. I do get to some hard questions. There, when you're doing the initial assessment, there's a requirement to ask questions such as, do you have any existential concerns? And so I usually started off by asking what they think about being in hospice care. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to them? And then I go from there. And if they're a person of faith, I want to know, what does that mean to you? Mm-hmm. And how is that guiding you? And how is that comforting you? And is it comforting you? And do you have any issues that you would like to share? Any concerns? Mm-hmm. You know, this is a difficult and challenging moment. So how's that going for you? And what do you need from us? And try to introduce to them hold hands mm-hmm. approach of hospice. But if, for instance, they are a person of a strong faith, and they have they belong to a particular church or a group, I want to know how we can work with them. Mm-hmm. What, you know, who they are, and what can we do to work with them? Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm very open to figuring out what they have, how that's going for them, and if there's anything we can do to support mm-hmm. that.
I'm pretty confident we'll have you back for another session, but thank you for coming and talking to the podcast today.
Thank you, and my journey with hospice has been a gift, really a gift to my soul, so thank you.
Good. Check out the Hospice of St. Lawrence Valley website for a wealth of resources. This is Mary Jones.
And this is Brother John.
We'll see you on the road.